Our gospel reading for today comes from Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 20. Jesus is speaking and he says, "Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." We give thanks to God for his word. I invite you to be seated. As we transition to the message time, I invite you to open your prayer and action guides, pull out the yellow sheet that says sermon notes and response card. This is meant to be a two-way communication tool. Hopefully you hear helpful scriptures and ideas in the message. There's a spot to jot those down. And then at the end, I'd love to hear what God is saying to you, how God's calling you to respond so we can pray for you and support you in the journey. As you get those ready, I invite you to join me in prayer. Gracious God, we come here from all sorts of different places with all sorts of different things on our minds and on our hearts, but we come seeking you. We ask you to do what only you can do. Reach us where we're at. Transform us by your grace so that no one leaves this place the same as we came in. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. We are in a series called Vital Signs. And just as you would check your physical vital signs, we're checking our spiritual vital signs. Those key faith practices that are essential for spiritual health in our lives and in our church. Now, I've held out for a while, but I have a confession to make. I know you all probably have perfect health and you don't struggle with this, but when it comes to my physical health, there are some vital signs that I really don't want to check. From the time that I was a young adult, I've dealt with high cholesterol. When I went to the doctor, the results were not very good. So I did the responsible thing. I stopped going to the doctor. Don't judge me. Yeah. But I didn't want to check the vital sign for fear of what it might reveal and what it might mean for me. Avoiding the issue didn't help. Actually, it's quite dangerous for my health. After a while, I did wise up. I made some changes to my exercise and diet. Recently, I had the courage to go to the doctor for a checkup. And I was surprised to hear some good news. My cholesterol was finally in a healthy zone. Yay! With recent health challenges, though, some of my healthy routines have slipped a bit. And so now I'm nervous to go back to the doctor and check my vital signs again. In our spiritual journey, I think there's some vital signs that we would rather not check. And my guess is that our vital sign for today falls into that category for many people. Today's vital sign is invest. We're talking about investing our financial resources for God's glory and purposes. And I know some people get uncomfortable when we talk about money and giving in church, and perhaps for good reason. I mean, maybe you had bad experiences in the past where somebody cheated you or didn't handle money with integrity. Maybe you're struggling financially yourself. Maybe you're afraid of what this might reveal or what it might mean for you. Avoiding the issue, however, will not help. It actually can be quite damaging for your spiritual health, for the health of our church. But if we are courageous enough to check what the Bible has to say about this vital sign, you might be surprised to hear some good news. We have a God who is generous and a wonderful provider. And it's this God that invites us to invest our resources for his glory and purposes. Since most people rather wouldn't check rather not check the vital sign for themselves in their own life. I thought it might be easier to start by checking somebody else's vital sign. And today our case study comes from the church mentioned in our first reading, the Corinthian church. And as we assess their health, we're going to learn some lessons that we can apply in our context. First, let me provide some background about our case study. Our first reading was an excerpt of a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. Paul was an early leader in the church. He took many missionary journeys. On his second missionary journey, he traveled to a city called Corinth and started a church there. You can see Corinth located near the center of the screen in what is modern-day Greece. After Paul moved on from Corinth, he would occasionally write letters to the church to encourage their spiritual health. Sometimes Paul had to address issues that they might not want to address, like the issue of money and giving. On his third missionary journey, Paul took a collection from various churches to help people in Jerusalem who were devastated by poverty. And this practice of bringing offerings in worship dates all the way back to the very beginning of the church. People would share what they had to help those in the church, in the community, in the world. And so what Paul did is he traveled to the different churches and collected money that could be used to help those in Jerusalem. And the church in Corinth, they pledged to give to this Jerusalem initiative. They started with enthusiasm. A year later, their giving had petered out. Something was going on. And the problem wasn't financial. Corinth was a thriving city. Located just west of the Corinthian Isthmus, Corinth was a crossroads for travelers and traders. They had two harbors on the Corinthian Gulf where goods were transported. There was money in the Corinthian church. And Paul sensed that the problem was more spiritual in nature. In 2 Corinthians 8, Paul notes how the Corinthians, they excelled in so many other areas of spiritual growth, but they were struggling in this area of giving. Something was wrong. And it would have been much easier for Paul to just avoid the issue, not check on this vital sign. But he knew if he did that, it would be damaging to their spiritual health and the health of their church. And I love the approach that Paul took. He helped the Corinthians look at this vital sign differently than we might be used to seeing it. Take a look at the picture on the screen. You might naturally see a woman's face, but if I tell you to look at the figure on the left, you might be able to see a musician playing an instrument. Do you see that? Paul does something like this in his letter. He shows them this vital sign and he helps them see it in a new way. Paul explains that the giving as a part of God's economy, is more like investing. When we give, it's gone. When we invest, it grows. Do any of you have financial investments? We invest because we believe it's going to grow. We hope that, right? It'll multiply. It'll bring an ROI, a return on investment. And Paul tries to help them see this is how it works when we invest in God's purposes and glory. Our investments grow and multiply and yield a return. He illustrates this with an analogy of sowing seeds. In 2 Corinthians 9:6, Paul writes, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously." When you sow a seed, it's not gone. It grows and multiplies and yields a return. Paul said, that's what happens when we invest financially for God's purposes. Our investments grow and multiply and yield the greatest return on investment that we could ever hope for. And the God behind this remarkable economy is a God who is generously invested in you. You want to talk about investments? God invested his own son to save you. Jesus invested his entire life to save you. I mean, it's kind of hard to wrap our mind around such an incredible gift. At the end of our reading, Paul says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. The closest thing that I've experienced in my own life recently has to do with my dad. Many of you know that my dad's kidneys are failing and that he needs a kidney transplant to survive. Well, recently, a member of our congregation came forward as a living donor for my dad. Her name is Erin Hoover. She's a mom with 4 young kids. It absolutely blows my mind to think that somebody would give their kidney to save my dad. The doctors asked my dad if he wanted to meet the person donating a kidney to him, and he's like, of course. I mean, wouldn't you want to meet the person who's saving your life? He does. And there's probably nothing he wouldn't do to help Erin. My dad feels that way about someone who's giving a kidney for him. Now I want you to think about what Jesus gave for you. He gave everything. He was willing to give his entire life, suffer an agonizing death. Why? So that he could offer you a new beginning with God, a fresh start in life, a new community to belong to, a new purpose to live for, an eternal hope to look forward to. What an indescribable gift. If there is a God who has done all that for you, would you not want to meet that God? Would you not want to give your very best for that God? Earlier this morning, we celebrated an adult baptism. Claude was baptized with us at 8 a.m. It's been so exciting to watch her journey. Met her about a year ago when she became a new member. Claude has learned about God's indescribable gift through this church. And it was during our Lenten services this past year where Claude trusted in Jesus as her Lord and her Savior. And today, through the waters of baptism, Claude wanted to dedicate her life in service of God. If you've never before entered into a relationship with this God, if you've never before been baptized, I'd love to have that conversation with you. But most importantly, I want you to hear this. God thinks you're worth investing in. God thinks your life is so valuable that it's worth investing his own son to save you. God thinks your life has so much potential that you're worth investing resources in. Time, ability, money, assets, and so on. And in light of God's incredible generosity towards you, God is inviting you to invest your God-given resources for his glory and purposes. And Paul says, keep in mind, this is investing. When you give, it's not gone. It grows and multiplies and yields the greatest return on investment we could hope for. There's so many ways that our giving yields growth. And I want to look with you at 3 ways that our investments produce growth. And it starts with how we grow personally. I found this fascinating. Did you know that when you donate one of your kidneys, the other kidney grows twice its size to compensate? Did you know that? God designed us for generosity. And we experience the same results when we invest financially. Paul says, when you give, it grows and multiplies and yields a great harvest. Get this, a great harvest of righteousness. See, when we invest our resources, God grows us spiritually, personally, on the inside. I wish I had time to go through all of the examples, but I'll just touch on 2 big ones. Investing grows our faith. Would anyone here like to grow in faith? I believe one of the reasons that God asks us to invest financially is to help grow our faith in him. It takes faith to invest our finances, but it's only when we take that leap of faith that we discover just how faithful God is to provide. In 2 Corinthians 9:8, Paul wrote, "And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. God wants us to know that He is our source, not our bank account, or our paycheck, or our job, or our portfolio, or our 401k. God is our source. Everything we have comes from God and belongs to God. And God wants us to know that He is a generous and wonderful provider. God is able to provide more than enough for all that we need and for all that He calls us to do. The Hoovers have experienced this. Erin was telling me that when she first felt God calling her to give her kidney, she said many times, "No way, God. No way will I do this. No way can I do this." And every time she felt like God replied, "I got you. I got this." Finances were the biggest hurdle. The transplant is taking place in San Francisco, and they knew it was going to cost about $8,000 for travel and stay there. This was more than they had. They were prepared to go into debt, but they felt like God leading them to invite others to invest. So they reluctantly set up a Facebook donation page, thinking they'd leave it open for several months. Within a week, they raised over $8,000. It was just another confirmation that God's got this, and that God would take care of the needs of their family every step of the way. When we trust God with our investments, it's an opportunity for Him to grow our faith. Second, investing grows our love. Anybody here want to grow in love? In our gospel reading, Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Our heart follows our investment. For example, if I invest in a stock, all of a sudden I care about that stock. When I invest in God and God's people, all of a sudden my heart expands. The Hoovers have experienced this in their journey as well. Many people have invested in their donation journey. Some they knew, some that were complete strangers to them. And they noticed that once someone gave, all of a sudden, they became much more concerned about their journey. They would read their blog. They would check in on their Facebook page. They would share their posts. The same thing happens when we invest in God and God's people. God expands our heart in love for God and His people. And the opportunities for growth go so much far beyond what happens inside us personally. The Hoovers felt bad asking people to invest financially in them. So they were shocked when other people thanked them for the opportunity to invest. They said, "You're giving us a chance to be part of something so much bigger than ourselves, the chance to make a difference." It reminds me of the Macedonians that Paul speaks about in 2 Corinthians 8. The Macedonians were very poor, and they were going through some severe troubles. But they begged Paul for the opportunity to invest in his Jerusalem initiative because they wanted to be part of something bigger than themselves. They wanted to make a difference. And that's the opportunity that God gives us through investment. When we invest, God's kingdom grows. In 2 Corinthians 9:12, Paul wrote, "This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but it is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God." God takes our investments and makes them grow, multiply, and yield the greatest ROI ever. Lives eternally impacted for the gospel. This past week, I was spending time with our OWLS 55 Plus ministry. I was sharing a presentation on my recent trip to Honduras. And I was so excited to share with them how God is using our generosity to make a difference in the world. For example, our church helps sponsor medical clinics, both one on location and also in various locations, for people who either don't have access or who don't have money to receive medical care. But this act of service opens a door to share the good news about Jesus. In every one of the clinics, there's a spiritual care room. And while I was there, I had the privilege of praying with one of the patients to trust in Jesus as their Lord and Savior for the first time. And we went through the medical charts, which probably is not legal in the U.S., but we got away with it there. But we went through and estimated that there has probably been 1,300 people in the past 5 years who have given their life to Christ through those clinics. What an amazing ROI. And we're seeing returns even closer to home. A couple weeks ago, I got to preach for our young adult ministry's worship night. The theme was belonging. And wow, what a diverse group of people gathered that night from different races, abilities, backgrounds. And yet there was a safe place for all of them to belong. And after the message, one of the young adults handed in a response card saying, "I want to know more about how to commit my life to Jesus." What an amazing ROI. If you'd ever like to learn more about how we handle money with integrity and how God uses our generosity to impact the world, please ask. It's so fun to share. Okay, I put it off long enough. It's time to check our vital sign. God has so generously invested in you. How are you doing in the area of invest? I know you might not want to check this vital sign, but it is so crucial to your spiritual health and the health of our church. Investing grows our faith, our love, God's kingdom. Paul challenged the Corinthians to excel in the grace of giving. I want to issue that same challenge. And knowing that we're all at different places in our spiritual journey, I'll break it up into three steps: crawl, walk, and run. For the crawl step, I challenge you simply to practice generosity. In 2 Corinthians 9:11, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Practice generosity. You don't have to give a kidney. You may want to, that's great. But you can start smaller than that. The other morning, I took my daughter on a date, and I bought her a donut. All by herself, she decided that she was going to give half of her donut to her brother when we got home. That return on investment was far greater than had she eaten the donut all herself. She made her brother's morning. She felt so good about it. That act of generosity started their day off on a great trajectory. Simply practice generosity with what you have and watch what God will do in and through your life. For the walk step, I challenge you to make a financial commitment to God. 2 Corinthians 9:7, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. I met with a couple for premarital counseling this past week, and there's a section in our book that talks about financial giving. Now, this couple is going to live out of state, so neither I nor Good Shepherd will personally benefit from their money or giving. And I had this thought: it would be so much easier to just skip over that chapter and avoid the awkwardness. But I couldn't do it. I did not want them to miss out on the spiritual health benefits. Because this vital sign, probably more than any other in my life, has helped me better understand God's faithfulness, provision, and power. I was challenged when I was in seminary to tithe. And tithe is the biblical principle of offering God 10% of what we receive. And my wife and I started that challenge in seminary. We continued when I became a pastor, and we set up an online regular giving so we'd be consistent every week. Well, my first year of being a pastor was in 2008. And I was serving at a smaller church at the time, and the economic recession devastated our church. Things got so bad financially that we had trouble paying for the mortgage. My secretary and I decided that we would go without a salary for a month to help our church catch up. And even though I wasn't going to receive a paycheck, we did not stop our regular online giving every week. This was simply an act of faith. We had a little boy at the time, and we trusted that God would take care. And oh my goodness, was God faithful. God provided more than enough for all that we needed. And it was that simple act of faith that sparked a miraculous turnaround in our church that led to incredible growth in faith and love and God's kingdom. I challenge you, make a financial commitment to God. You could start with a first-time gift, or maybe set up a regular online gift. You could pledge a percentage of your income to God. You could take the tithe challenge or go beyond that. It doesn't matter. Make a financial commitment to God and watch what God will do in and through your life. And then finally, the run step. And here I challenge you, keep growing. It's interesting. In most areas of spiritual growth, we strive for continual growing. We don't always approach this vital sign the same way. And I felt a little convicted as I was preparing for this. Now my family gives over 10% of our gross income, invests it to God through Good Shepherd. But I recognized over the past few years, I've kind of plateaued in my giving. And I felt like God was saying, keep growing so that you can keep growing in your love, in your faith, in God's kingdom. In 2 Corinthians 9:6, Paul says, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will reap generously. Keep growing. At the bottom of your sermon notes is a response card. And I invite you to prayerfully consider how you can respond to the scripture and the message for today. If you put your name and email, I promise I will pray for you and write to you. If you are intrigued by the story of the Hoovers, there's a video interview coming out soon. And if you jot me a note on your response card, I'll make sure that you get to see that as well. I'm going to give you some time with God and then close us in prayer.